today as we come to the table.
Sometimes I talk to people and I go, wow, they're like so deep in the Lord. How do you know this stuff? Where do you get this stuff? How do you have such insight? How is this whatever? And I can tell by looking at their life, they're just spending time with Jesus. Remember James and John up there, and the Pharisees are drilling them after this man got, you know, healed, this cripple got healed. And they're saying, you know, how did you do this? And what are you guys doing? And it says, it's interesting. It says they could tell that they had been with Jesus, that Peter and John had been with Jesus. Can people tell that we've been with Jesus? Can they tell that? It's not a pride thing. It's not a I want to look spiritual thing. It's not a, or oh, you've got that holy aura or whatever. But there's something about just being with the Lord.
When you take good care of your vehicles and stay on top of regular maintenance, you can count on them to be pretty reliable. They work well because they've been cared for. In the same way, you need to be cared for too when it comes to pouring in the Word of God in your life so you'll be well equipped to serve and to share with others. Well, thanks for taking the time to join us as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Mark Kirk, Senior Pastor of Calvary Knoxville. In our message today, Pastor Mark will encourage you to focus on Jesus and really get to know Him. As you understand His character and what He's done for you, the response to love others and share the good news will simply overflow. Only the Lord can provide that genuine kind of love. And that's just some of what we'll learn as we join Pastor Mark in the book of John, chapter 4, as he continues his message entitled, Believing God's Word.
I don't think the issue was that it was just Adam and Eve. It was the propensity of man being swayed by Satan that man fell. And with that comes certain consequences. But again, I think it's important to point this out because I got a question about it even this morning. It's not wrong for a woman evangelistically to reach out even if men are there. The only stipulation is a woman is not to be a pastor. Now, why is that and where do we find it? I wanted to take a moment to share that so that you know. And Paul addresses it. And I also want to give this some context because in this context, Paul is going to talk about a woman being in silence in the church. He's not saying that a woman can't teach or even be evangelistic in church or even do women's ministry or kids ministry or talk a lot in church, because we see later on that Paul talks about when women do share in church and when men do share in church, the gifts of the Spirit, make sure they do it the right way, make sure things are done in order. And so he talks about women speaking in church and men speaking in church and all this. So he's not forbidding that. I want to say it even before I read it because I don't want to close any ears off before we even get there. But look what it says in 1 Timothy 2 verses 12 through 14. Paul is speaking specifically about the authority structure of the church. That is it. And here's what he says. And I do not permit a woman to teach or have authority over a man, but to be in silence. Now, again, the context, silence doesn't mean they can't speak. It means in the teaching or pastoral sense. That's huge to understand. For, and now he gives the two reasons. For Adam was formed first and then Eve, showing God's order. And then secondly, look at this. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived fell into transgression. So they both had consequences because of giving in to the enemy. And allowing a woman to be a pastor is forbidden for two reasons, as we said. Number one, for order, so there'd be proper order in the church. And number two, because he said, hey, you were deceived, and because of that, this is a consequence. So it's simply a consequence. It's not one being better than the other, or somehow that God is a male chauvinist from heaven. It is order. It is structure. It is how God has set it up. And so it's important to understand that. Again, just so that we can know the proper roles, because I think that sometimes women are afraid to share. You know, they think, I'm going to share, and what about this? And what if I go to a Ruth Graham event and men are there? That's fine. Again, this is not what he's talking about. And again, I find this interesting that Jesus chose this woman to be the evangelist for the Samaritan village. He didn't choose a man. He chose this woman. And she was a very good evangelist, as we see here, as she shared the gospel and says, hey, they believe because of her testimony, because of her witness, because of the power of her speech. And he said, he told me everything I ever did. And they're like, yes. Let's look at verse 40. So when the Samaritans had come to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. Now, it's interesting here in the language, the word urged there, you miss it as far as the Greek shows it, because the Greek language bears out the significance of this word. It means with strong urging, strong compelling. They were basically begging him, Lord, you've got to stay. You've got to be here. You simply have to. We've got to have you stay. And so they're begging the Lord to stay. How refreshing that is when you think about the places he went and they begged him to leave. And he left when they asked him to, didn't he? Now they're begging him to stay. And he's like, all right, you want me to stay? I'll stay. And I think it's very symbolic here too. As a matter of fact, I know it is, because notice the Holy Spirit points out that he stayed there 2 days. And why do I find that very significant? Because the number two in Scripture affirms there is a difference or another in any given situation. And what's my point? Remember, he's trying to teach the disciples, I didn't just come for Calvary Chapel. I didn't just come for the Jews. I came for all the world. Expand your horizon. Make your viewpoint larger so you can reach the world and be involved with more ministry and more ministries and more Christians, no matter what their background is. The number two here shows there is another. It's not just the Jews I came for. I came for the Gentiles as well. And so again, a huge lesson they needed to learn, and a huge lesson we need to learn. And so the Lord did stay there. And look what happens. Verse 41, it says, and many more believed because of his own word. So they believe because of her word. Now they heard Jesus, and they're believing because of Jesus. And look at verse 42. Then they said to the woman, now we believe not because of what you said, you know, not that it was bad, for we ourselves have heard him, that is Jesus, and we know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. I love this. He's simply saying, look, we heard her. We heard her testimony. We're happy about it. But after we heard you, wow, it really kicked in. As the job of the believer is simply to get the person to Jesus. That's our job. Get them to Jesus. He'll handle the rest. We tell them about Jesus. We point them to the Word of God. They get in the Word of God. They begin to grow in the Word of God, and Jesus speaks to them. Listen, I can speak to you guys today, and you can hear my voice. It's kind of hard to avoid. But if God speaks to your heart, and it's not my voice, and you realize this is God's voice speaking straight to my heart, it's going to have a huge impact in your life. My voice will have a minimal, if zero, impact. And rightly so. But the Lord's voice, when he says it, I love it. You guys come up to me and say, wow, this was so neat today, and I just want to thank you because of this and this and this, and they'll point something out that I did not even say. And they're thanking me for it. And I'm kind of like, you know, well, do I just tell them? You know, I didn't say that today. And usually I do. I'll say, I didn't say that. So, but that's awesome. But why? Here's what happens. As I'm reading the Word, here's what's so supernatural about God's Word. I love it. As we're reading through the Word and the things that God put in my heart to share, the Holy Spirit is taking that and he's saying whatever he wants to you. He's using it as a springboard to say, okay, Mark brought up a point there, and it's okay, but this is really good. Boom. Wow, Lord. Wow. I never saw that. I never thought of that. I never, thank you, Lord. And he speaks specifically and directly to our hearts what we need to hear. And that's what they're saying to this woman right here. They're saying, thank you for sharing. That was awesome. But what God has been showing me is absolutely amazing. You know, it's interesting. I have, you know, over the years, you have people that you do ministry with, and they're in the ministry, and they get involved, and you watch them not only catch up, they seem to, pass you up and just be used in much greater ways. I've got one like that, and she's just amazing. I remember she was just a baby Christian, and we first started, you know, and years pouring into her. It's God just pouring the Word into her, and she's gone now, moved away and all that. But the stuff she does now, the way God uses her in ministry, it's just amazing. The insight she has, the power she walks in, the level of the Spirit, and I'm like, Lord, you know, I thank you for letting me be a part of teaching her in the Word, but now let me catch up. It's exciting because once you turn people over to Jesus, it really just depends on their motivation and their heart. You can grow as much and as fast as you want to in the Spirit. It just depends on how much you want it, how bad you want it. If you want to grow in the Lord, you want to pass everybody up, not in some kind of pride thing, like I'm no more, but just grow and grow and grow and be used in greater ways, spend more time in the Word. Spend more time in prayer, not legalistically, not some goal of I'll do this many hours. No, just love Jesus, spend time with him. He will anoint you and raise you up. And so, hey, we learn more from, you know, thank you for sharing. Thank you for getting us to Jesus. But the way we truly learn and grow, that's with Jesus. He's how we do it. It's with him. And so it's amazing how some people hear the Lord and all they hear is religion or a religious leader. And some people say, no, I realize he is the savior of the world. Rather, I hear his spirit. And so this is what's going on. And notice they say this to her. We've heard him now. He's Christ. He's savior of the world. And this episode here in Samaria comes to a close. The Lord's done. He's going to move on, and we're not done yet ourselves, but he's going to move on from here now up to the Galilee region, which is up north. And so he moves up north to finish ministry up there. And when he gets to the Galilee region, we're going to see that he's greatly accepted, but he's not accepted for the right reasons. He's accepted for the wrong reasons. Look at verse 43. Now, after 2 days, he departed from there and went to Galilee. Again, notice the number two. You're going to see two come up here. He was there 2 days, speaks of two here after those 2 days. And next week, we'll get to this Roman soldier or this Roman, actually not Roman soldier. He's really a Roman official with Herod. He's going to speak of the second sign that Jesus did because he's focusing in on Gentiles here. And this is a moment of teaching the disciples to not just be so close-minded and focused on their own. He says, after 2 days, he departed from there and went to Galilee. For Jesus himself testified that a prophet has no honor in his own country. What a powerful statement, but something that we need to understand. Have you ever noticed that a prophet has no honor in his own country or his own home? Now, you might be thinking, I'm not a prophet. This doesn't mean necessarily a prophet like Elijah and David and Elisha and all these guys. It just means a servant of the Lord, somebody who loves the Lord. Have you found that other people will listen to you about Jesus, but your own family won't? Guys, this is a principle, a scriptural principle that you need to understand. It doesn't matter how godly you are, your friends and family who saw you grow up are probably not going to listen to you because they saw you grow up. They know what you're like. They saw your sins. They saw your mistakes. They saw your weaknesses. And because of that, they're not going to respect you in that place. It's just human nature. But if you're thinking, well, it's because I was so bad, I ruined my testimony with my family for all those years. Listen, it doesn't matter how godly you are. Even if you now have repented completely and are walking with the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, chances are your family's not going to listen to you. Now, some of your family members did, and you say, you've got testimonies. Well, I led my brother to the Lord. My sister, my family, they all believe. Praise the Lord for that. You are a rarity because most people, it doesn't work that way. And you know what? It didn't work that way for Jesus. His own family, his own brothers rejected him. I mean, Jesus is. You're living with God. Can you imagine living with God and still not getting it? I think about them. Listen, to their credit, they got saved after he died, right? I can't imagine growing up in the home with God, and then he dies, and I didn't believe, and I mocked him. They said, oh, you're God. Go on down there and prove yourself. Do this. He said, you know what? You're of the world. I'm not. My time's not ready. And they're being smart with him and giving him a hard time and all this. Can you imagine later on getting saved and going, that was God. I treated God that way and didn't believe God. Listen, if people can live with God and not believe in him, they can live with you and not believe in what you're telling them. So don't be too hard on yourself. And I think about these guys there with Jesus, his brothers, and they're going, you think you're something and you this thing, go down there and prove yourself and this, whatever. At one point, they accused him of being demon-possessed. You've got demons, you're demon-possessed. I just think about, you know, aren't you glad Jesus is Jesus and not one of us? Because his brothers probably wouldn't have made it to a point where they could have been saved. It would have been like, you little punk, I made you. He did. Think about it. He made them. He could have looked at his brothers and said, I made you. I formed you in the womb. You have 4,622 hairs. I counted them. I know you better than you know yourself. No, you don't. Yep. That mole behind your knee? I made you. I know everything about you. He could have said that at any moment. Everyone that he was with, he made them. He created them. And what's amazing about that is that not only was he gracious with them, he still, after all that abuse and all these, if you had made everybody and they were that mean to you, how would you have felt? All these people that reject Jesus today and they hate him. There are people today that hate Jesus with all their heart. Listen, we had somebody just recently, we just innocently sent someone a book as a gift. It was just like a little kid's book about how to deal with death, about a little bunny that died. You know, that's all it was. And there's something in the book that was like, oh God, you'll help my little bunny. One thing, whatever it was, we got hate mail for that. How dare you try to apostolize my child? And I'm thinking, Jesus loves you so much. He made you. He's still giving you a chance for salvation, and you're mocking him. You're hating him. Okay, so Jesus loves us with all that he is. And what he wants is that love back. And I think about a world that's rejected him. And I think about oftentimes even Christians where we reject him. And we're Christians where we choose to live in sin. Listen, I understand stumbling, but I'm going to choose to live in sin. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll obey me. And so we don't show God the love that he's due. And Jesus, with his own brothers here, didn't get the love that he was due. And yet he still loved them and brought them to a place where they actually could have salvation. But again, familiarity breeds contempt. And here's my point in this. If you share with your family and they're just not listening and even they hate your guts because of it, pray for God to send someone else. Just stop. You're not going to reach them. Let someone else reach them. Now, if you haven't shared with them, you need to share with them. God put you in their family for a reason. You know, God put you there for a purpose. So share. I'm not saying don't share. But once you share and once they reject, leave it to God. And I pray, God, send people into my family's life. You send them people. You send them ones that will get to their heart. And let someone else come and do it because they're too familiar with me. They know me. And so that's how we need to be praying. And so don't be discouraged if your family rejects you or your friends reject you. Don't be too hard on yourself. Again, you're in good company. So that's exactly what happened to the Lord. He says they've no honor for a prophet in his own country. But notice what happens. He gets honor outside of Nazareth. Look at verse 45. So when he came to Galilee, that is the region around Nazareth, the Galileans received him. That means they took him in. Hey, this is great. But notice why. Having seen all the things he did in Jerusalem at the feast, for they had also gone to the feast. In other words, we saw the miracles. We saw your power. We're going to follow you because of the miracles. Guys, listen, there are people still today that chase after Jesus, but for the wrong reason, the wrong motive, just for the miracles. What miracle thing is going to happen at church today? What new sign is there going to be? What prophecy is going to come forward? Show me something, make it tingly for me. You know, let's have whatever. And again, I appreciate the emotional experiences with God and the Holy Spirit as much as anyone. But if we are pursuing the Lord so he can give us a miracle or what he can do for us, we don't understand this relationship thing. He loves us. He wants to be with us. He desires a relationship. It's not just, I did a miracle. It's interesting, he told David, well, David says in the Psalms and reveals what God said to him. He said, Lord, you've told me to seek your face, and your face I will seek. Why? It speaks of intimacy and relationship. He didn't say, Lord, I will seek your hand. I'm going to seek your hand, Lord, what you can give me. Nothing wrong in asking God for help. Nothing wrong in asking God for blessings. But God wants us more than anything, more than he wants you. It's not your money. It's not your belongings. You know, God didn't say, to give to God because he wants your money. God's doing fine. Trust me. He wants you. And it's a reflection of your heart. You know, it's interesting. We are now, God is blessed, and I'm extremely excited because we need to put a top coat on our road. We need some more parking out there. We need to finish the road up the top side so there's two different entrances and exits on the property. And God brought the money in for that. So I'm excited about that. And as this was happening, I was praying. I was like, God, you're so good. You can do all things. It's nothing to you. God, you can bring in $1 million if you want. We can finish the outside of the building. I believe you. I believe God for big things. I do. Now, he doesn't always do what I believe in, but I believe him for big things. And I said, Lord, because we're going to put board and batting on the outside of the building one day and put roof and make it look more like a real, like lodge and real building, not just a metal building. And so that's part of the plan, long-term plan. I said, God, you can just do it all at once. Well, Lord, whatever. And he didn't say no to me, but in my heart, I very clearly, again, he impresses it in your heart. He said, seek first the kingdom of God. And all these things will be added. It's like, oh yeah, that's right. I remember. That's right. Seek first the kingdom. If you just love Jesus, he takes care of everything else in your life. The problem is we often seek so much after the things that we forget the one that really would make those things happen. He says, just have a relationship with me. Remember Martha and Mary in the house, and Martha's all busy serving the Lord. Good for her. Good going. But that's all she's doing. She's so busy serving, she's not spending time with him. And what's Mary doing? Mary's the opposite. The dishes await. I want to hear Jesus. And she's there at the feet of Jesus, and she's listening to him. She's in the word and prayer, we might say. And Martha comes storming in. Make her help me. There's a lot of work to do at this church. There's things, somebody's got to clean the floors, and somebody's got to put that siding on, and this, and that. And that's all true, but calm down, Martha. Mary's doing the best thing. She's spending time with me, because what Mary understands is, if she seeks me first, all that needs to be done in the house and in the church and in life, it'll all fall into place. But if Mary seeks all this stuff first that needs to get done and doesn't seek me, hardly any of it's going to get done. Seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added. I also love the verse, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. That's a pretty cool verse, isn't it? Now, that doesn't mean that you can have whatever you want. You know, delight yourself in the Lord, and I'm going to own a yacht and a mansion and be Elmer Fudd. Didn't he say that? You know, I'm Elmer Fudd. I own a mansion and a yacht. Anyway, this is Bugs Bunny days coming back, but can't always get that verse, but I can remember Bugs Bunny. How sad is that? Delight yourself in the Lord. Just love him. Just love him. And he says, if you do that, I'll take care of everything else. I'll come in and help with your marriage. I'll come in and help with your finances. I'll come in and help with your kids. I'll come in and help with everything. Just delight yourself in me and seek first the kingdom. And so this is a lesson he wanted them to learn, because what he's saying is he went to Galilee and he said, you guys love me because I did these miracles. What about just loving me for who I am? Ladies, wouldn't it be great your husband loves you just for who you are? You know, husbands, wouldn't it be great your wife loves you just for who you are? What a great place to be. Isn't it great when your friends love you for just for who you are? Again, you get the point. Jesus wants you to love him just because he's Jesus and because he loves you. And I think really one of the main things to focus in on today as we finish this up is the Lord wants you to know that he wants a close relationship. He wants to be with you. He wants to spend time with you. He wants to know you. He wants to share his heart with you. He says, if you spend time with me, I will show you the hidden manna. Sometimes I talk to people and I go, wow, they're like so deep in the Lord. How do you know this stuff? Where do you get this stuff? How do you have such insight? How is this whatever? And I can tell by looking at their life, they're just spending time with Jesus. Remember James and John up there, and the Pharisees are drilling them after this man got, you know, healed, this cripple got healed. And they're saying, you know, how did you do this? And what are you guys doing? And it says, it's interesting. It says they could tell that they had been with Jesus, that Peter and John had been with Jesus. Can people tell that we've been with Jesus? Can they tell that? It's not a pride thing. It's not a, I want to look spiritual thing. It's not a, or, oh, you've got that holy aura or whatever. But there's something about just being with the Lord. There's a beauty in holiness, and there's a beauty in closeness to the Lord that we can't experience unless we work on the relationship. I really will stop here. Okay, here's the bottom line. Focus in on knowing Jesus. I would say this week, and I'm going to say do it this week, but it should be a lifestyle. But try this week. Start this way. I just want to know you. I don't want to seek your hand this week. Or at least today. Don't seek his hand today. Seek his face. Lord, I've come to you in prayer. I don't want anything from you. I don't want anything from you. I'm not going to ask for my kids. I'm not going to ask for help with the rent. You know what? I want you right now for this 5, 10 minutes, whatever, however long you're going to spend with him. Just tell him, I'm not going to ask for anything but you. Draw close to me. Let me draw close to you. Let me know you. I want to see your face. I want to know your character. I want to understand you. I want to love you the way you love me. You know the hairs on my head. You made me. You know everything about me. You died for me on a cross, even knowing what I'm like. Wow. So, Lord, I want to know you. Let's make it our goal to know him and to seek him and to draw in. Let's get that love relationship going. And if we get the love relationship going with Jesus, guess what's going to happen? We're going to start loving each other a whole lot better, aren't we? We're going to love each other. Even when we mess up, we're going to love each other. Maybe temporary agitation, but then we'll love each other. But let's pray for God's power.
Thanks for spending the last half hour with us at the table of God's Word. Pastor Mark will continue teaching through the book of John next time, but you don't have to wait for our next episode to keep digging into the Bible. You can access more messages right now at PastorMarkKirk.com or subscribe to the daily podcast right from our website. And feel free to share these teachings with your friends or family members or someone who wants to know more about what the Bible has to say. The book of John is a great introduction to who Jesus is, and it might just be the conversation starter you've been looking for. That website again is PastorMarkKirk.com. Hey, are you listening right now in the Knoxville area? If so, we want to meet you. Here's Pastor Mark with a personal invitation.
Thanks, Greg. I want to let you know there's a seat waiting for you here at Calvary Knoxville. We've been here since 1997, and it's been an honor to see God do such incredible things in our fellowship and in this community. Come join us as we invest in God's Word and in each other. And yes, we're meeting in person. All our services and ministries are being held each week, but we're also streaming online for those who can't make it in person. You can find out everything by clicking on the Our Church section at PastorMarkKirk.com. I'm excited to see you this weekend, and I hope you'll join me again the next time we come to the table.
Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.